It can be a rather uncomfortable moment when you have to ask a house guest who's overstayed their welcome to leave. Well, recently, in one of our EPP bonus episodes, the ghost of the house did just that and really took care of the problem. And the ghost not viewed as a problem by the homeowner.
You won't forget this one.
It's a great story, and you're only going to hear it in the EPP bonus section of Real Ghost Stories online on a recent episode. When you're an EPP, you get access to more than 50 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, and more. It's only $5 a month to keep our show on the air, covering all of our basic costs of keeping this thing afloat and distributing the show, and you get all these extra great episodes to enjoy as well. So please help keep the show going. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear the continuation of Amanda's story from yesterday's episode. A family visitor confuses everyone when they realize the visit never really happened. And bored with hot summer days, friends gather for some excitement, which leaves them with the chills. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
I'm excited to hear the other half here of that story.
Okay.
From yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. I want to see what happens in the years continuing on. It's always fun. You have like a lifetime of haunting of a story.
Yeah.
It's like, and it started when I was little, and then I was a teenager, and it's still going on while I'm writing this letter. Right now I'm hearing knocking as I'm writing this to you.
Yes.
So that should be exciting. Of course, if you have a real ghost story, you can call in it. You can call it into us, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online so we can share them with the world. Let's kick off the show today. We'll continue on with the letter from yesterday. First off, so continuing up from, this is pretty much exactly where it was left off, right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so continuing on. So Taj sages the house. The smoke alarm above the stairs begins to go off. Michael goes to shut it off, and as soon as he puts his foot on the first step, it turns itself off. Michael turns around to go into the other room, and the alarm starts up again. He ended up taking a bath, taking a bathroom and knocking and the batteries out of it. It started up again, without batteries. It eventually stopped on its own. With the house sage, Taj left telling us the activity could start up as they left the house. We had no idea how bad it would get. A couple hours later, my mother and brother had left to run some errands. We heard kids running through the downstairs, and there were knocks and bangs. Michael decided to get out of the house for a while. I think we went to hang out with some friends. I got a call from my mother saying, "Come home now." When we got home, my parents were furious. My stepfather was home. He was an over-the-road trucker who was home maybe 2 weekends out of the month if we were lucky. He claimed he never had any paranormal experiences in the house. And we were all crazy. He'd laugh and make fun of us about it. He wasn't laughing now. They had come home and found every window open and every candle lit in the house. Remember my mother's fear of fire? She claimed I had done it and was just trying to scare them all. There were no ghosts in the house, and I could have burned the house down. Understandably, I was extremely upset and hurt. Michael and I called my mom's friend Amy to see if we could stay the night at her house until everybody calmed down. She agreed, and we got in the car and headed for Amy's. Amy lived several miles outside of Monroe City on a little gravel road. We had to travel several county roads to get there. At the time, we had an 86 Camaro. It was in good shape, no mechanical problems. One of the roads was an extremely curvy road with a lot of S-shaped curves. It was dark as we hit the first S-curve. Michael slowed the car to better handle the curve. Something ran out in front of us. At the speed we were going, we should have hit it. It was right in front of the nose of the car, and that's how I know how large it was. Michael and I still, to this day, get goosebumps telling this. It was black with long hair like a giant dog. It was much taller than the car. I could see it clearly over the hood. It didn't have a head. I swear to God, we both saw it and there wasn't a head on it. Like I said, we should have hit it. It was inches in front of the car, but it moved faster than it should have been able to and was gone across the road. Of all the things that happened involving the house, that thing was the most terrifying. So we're both shaking and scared, so we drive on and get the next set of S-curves. Again, as we're going around the first one, the headlights go out, just complete darkness. So Michael slams on the brakes and the headlights come back on. It happens twice more and only around the dangerous curves. So we're afraid we're going to get into an accident because we can't see the road. We pull over at this little house along the road and ask to use the phone. This was before everybody had cell phones. This lady that lives there was nice enough to let us use her phone. It was late and I could tell she was afraid of us. We tried calling Amy and it wouldn't go through. First she told us the number was disconnected and that it was the wrong number. Finally, after about a dozen times, we got a hold of Amy and she said she'd follow us to her house. The headlights didn't go out again the entire time we owned that car. So we stayed at Amy's and everything calmed down. A few bumps in the night, but nothing major. We did tell Taj about the dog thing. He didn't have an explanation except maybe a demon, so life went on. My great-grandmother came to visit for a couple weeks, and we made the downstairs family room into a bedroom for her so she didn't have to climb the stairs. I got pregnant with our first son. As it got larger, Michael and I took the downstairs bedroom. One night, I had just fallen asleep when Michael shakes me awake, saying, "Did you hear that?" I hadn't. Suddenly, there was a growl. It was so loud, it sounded like a train coming right through our bedroom and moving into the music room. We slept upstairs until I came from home to the hospital with our son, Jaden. A couple notable things happened during my pregnancy. I dreamed that I was walking back into the servants' quarters, which we didn't use at the time. There was a lot of negativity back there in the servants' quarters. My son's crib was set up and empty. My stepfather was there along with another man who was mostly in shadow. My stepfather looked into my eyes and said, "Don't bring that baby into this house. Dr. Jones doesn't want him here. Don't bring him here." That dream frightened me badly and I was afraid of what would happen with my son when he was born, but we didn't have anywhere else to go. The second thing was as I was nearing the end of the pregnancy, I began to have Braxton Hicks, which are false labor contractions. It was pretty severe. One night I was in bed having contractions and just trying to get some sleep. I think I was in tears. Michael was working on a river barge. I was in pain and feeling fat and lonely. Just as I would start drifting off, another contraction would hit and wake me up. And something changed. In that place between asleep and awake, I saw a woman sitting at the side of the bed, patting my hand and rubbing my forehead. She was saying soothing things like, "It's going to be all right. Hush now." I was comforted and at peace and drifted off to sleep. I have no doubt she was really there. I think it was Lily, only she was different. Her hair was done up in a bun and she wore a maroon Victorian dress. I'll always be grateful to her for the kindness she showed me that night. So I had my son and we used a downstairs bedroom for a couple months without anything happening. When we moved back to our old bedroom, things started up again. Since the house was so big, the use of baby monitors were a must. While my son slept in his crib upstairs, I could hear him wherever I was in the house. One night, some friends and I were all sitting around the kitchen table when we heard little kids singing over the monitor. Classic scary movie singing. Could have been Mary Had a Little Lamb, just much slower. We ran upstairs to check and of course nothing. My son was sound asleep. Several times we'd hear one of the upstairs bathroom doors open, probably my mother's room. Boots would walk heavily across the upstairs foyer into my room. I'd run upstairs and never find anything out of place. Then one day I was in the kitchen and I thought I heard a slight noise from the monitor, like a squeak or a mew. At first I thought I had imagined it, but I kept thinking maybe I should go check on Jaden. Call it mother's intuition. Thank God I did. Michael and I went up and I found him in his crib. The blankets had been neatly made up over him. They were all tucked into the mattress over his body. Blankets, sheets, and even the heavy comforter that I always hung over the end of the crib because we didn't use it. He'd been screaming. He was sweating and red and hysterical. He was tucked in so tight his screams were muffled by the blankets and we couldn't hear it over the monitor. That was pretty much the turning point of Michael, Jaden, and I living there. I never left him alone in the room again. A couple years before my parents sold the house, my mother took in several foreign exchange students. We had one girl from Brazil that claimed twice she saw Michael in the doorway, glaring at her. Yeah, it wasn't him. Another time, we had a friend staying the night, and we were sleeping in what used to be the nursery. He claims in the middle of the night, Michael came in and woke him up. Michael walked across the small room and sat down in a chair. When he sat down, he picked up my friend's hat and tossed it under the bed on top of him. My friend was a little annoyed and confused about being woke up. He said he was sleeping pretty well, except for the fact that he had a bottle of pills in his pocket that were digging into his side. He fell back asleep and couldn't remember what else Michael said to him. He would have chalked it up to a dream, except in the morning, hat was still on top of him. Again, it wasn't Michael. I used to tease my friend that he had been talking to a ghost and could have any question in the world. All he did was complain about a little bottle of pills. It wasn't too long after that that we decided to have another paranormal group come in. They were nice people, pretty much. The only thing that happened was while we were all sitting around the dining room table, a voice came over the monitor. It was a woman screaming, "No, no, sit up." The upstairs monitor was unplugged. They also discovered that the foundation of the house is heavily laced with quartz. Some people believe that quartz traps energy. Also, the kitchen is built over a massive open well. We knew that before the group came in, just an interesting fact. Soon after that, Michael, the baby, and I moved in with a couple of friends. My parents went through a nasty divorce and sold the house, contract for deed. The people that moved in destroyed it, ripped up the upstairs floors, took out the clawfoot tub, let the pipes freeze and bust. It went back onto the market and sat empty for years. I've kept an eye on it, and people will buy the house, fix it up, but they don't. It just sits. This has happened several times in the past 15-plus years. It was sold again last year. My aunt tried to buy it for a bed and breakfast, but it was bought out from under her. Word has it that the grand old mansion sold for $7,500. That's it. The new owners haven't done anything yet either. I wonder if something is scaring them off. If I could afford, I'd buy it in a heartbeat. There were definitely negative beings there, but there was a lot of good, too. I believe now that I'm older and wiser and something could be done to get them out. It's a sad, sad thing to see that old place rotting away. So if anybody wants to own a once beautiful and majestic piece of history, try Monroe City, Missouri. Just another interesting fact after my mother moved on. She moved in with a boyfriend whose son saw a blonde woman in a nightgown standing at the bottom of their stairs in the middle of the night. The kid had no knowledge of the house in Monroe City. I think Lily was checking on my mother. Also, my mother had all the history and the deed to the house. All the men who have ever owned the house have died almost exactly 10 years after they purchased the house, sometimes in strange accidents. Even all these years later, I'll randomly tell this story and I'm still learning new things about the house. A couple years back, I struck up a conversation about it with some fellow ghost enthusiasts, and this stranger's parents rented the house at one time. They had similar activity, and the owner before them hung himself in the attic. Thank you for letting me tell this story. I know it's a novel length, but I wanted to pull down all I could of it. I think I've shared most of it. As I reread this extremely long story, there's some connections that I've never made. A demonic presence is very possible. I see that now. The thought had occurred to me before, but now with all the written down, it puts a different spin on things. I brought Taj into the house, and we all saw there was something wrong with my mother because of his walkthrough, and that stopped after he cleansed the house. So maybe it was seriously trying to hurt Michael and me afterwards. Anyways, thanks for reading. Sincerely, Amanda.
It's kind of unusual for us to get a story of this length where it all ties together.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the portion that we read today, I think the black thing that tried to get them to run off the road and they nearly hit it may have been one of the presences in the house following them.
Demonic? I'd say if it's trying to run you off the road.
I would say probably so, especially since it took that kind of form.
Yeah.
It, I don't think was a good one, for sure.
Very interesting to hear her recount reading the story and then kind of making some realizations. I wonder how often that happens. When someone hears their story read back,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe when I, one of my things I hate doing, but I know I should do, is when I write something like a letter, it's usually a good idea to proofread it.
Yes.
I don't proofread. I mean, I do with some things that I know I need to, if it's being published or something. But if I'm just like typing an email, in most cases, it's just like a line or two. A lot of times it's just out and sent. But I would imagine we get a lot of stories in that are not necessarily proofread.
No, that's what I do.
Sure. But I wonder, I mean, and not talking about the grammatical issues that we encounter all the time,
mm-hmm.
but more so just the content of when they hear it read back on the show, if there's kind of like this, some revelations made or new, you know, new thoughts that are coming to mind on the situations when it's being delivered in a different way, not just how they're recalling it.
No, I can see that.
Yeah.
Because it really gives them a chance to reflect upon what happened.
Yeah. It's very interesting to think of the stories that way. So many things in that story, it's very hard to address them all. As I was reading, I'm like, oh, I'll talk about that at the end. Oh, I'll talk about that. Oh, I'll talk about that. I ran out. My mind got overloaded with all of the chapters to that story. But very interesting story, Amanda. Thank you for sharing that with us. We really do appreciate you taking the time to write that that letter in. The phone number here is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you're a new listener to the show, press subscribe. Whatever platform it is you are listening to us on, that subscribe button helps us climb those charts. More people find us. And most importantly, you get our episodes delivered directly to you as they are released. So that's a big help. You don't have to go search for it every single time you want to hear a ghost story. Oh, look, a new story, new episode from them. Great. Press play. You're done. It's simple. It's easy. It's a win-win. Next letter comes into us from Riddhi. Riddhi?
You know I don't know. It's a Hindu name, but I do not know how to say it.
I'm going to go with Riddhi. Mm-hmm. Could be completely wrong. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Riddhi, and although I haven't had many paranormal experiences, the ones I have had have been rather unusual. The story I'm about to tell may not be very frightening for your listeners, but it definitely shocked me, confused me, and 100% scared me. Here's some background. I'm a 20-year-old university student. I have my own apartment in my college town, and I generally go back to visit family when I have some time off. My dad works out of town, so my little brother and I tend to sleep with my mom in her bedroom when I go home. One particular morning in December, after my school exams had finished, I woke up at around 8 a.m. to my mother drying her hair in her ensuite bedroom, her bathroom. I got up, annoyed, telling her I was trying to sleep. She replied by saying that she was late for work and that if I wanted to go back to sleep, I should go to my own room. It's important for me to say that by this point, I was completely awake. We conversed for a while longer, and then I grabbed my phone, blanket, and pillow and made my way to my room. My house has sort of a balcony upstairs, which overlooks the entire lower level of the house. As a result, I always sneak a peek downstairs during my little brother's school days to make sure he's ready to go and won't miss the bus. This morning, I walked out, texting my friend, looked down and saw my brother sitting on the couch, his headphones in his ears, lost in a game on his iPad. He did this often, and when this happened, he would lose attention to what was going on around him. As I kept walking, I saw my grandfather, who was alive and well, enter our home, across the foyer and make his way into the living room. He was walking his usual walk, hands behind his back, slouched over slightly, and although I didn't observe him carefully, I was in no doubt my grandfather. Same blue jacket, a shiny bald head, a big nose, and old tanned skin. I heard him say, "Finally," as he sat down. I guess this was kind of a sigh of relief to finally sit down or something. He then pulled out his phone and started texting or typing something. My brother, who I assumed already knew my grandpa was coming over in the morning, was still busy in his game. You should know that my grandfather didn't come over often in the early morning, but often enough for it not to be unusual. This is because my mom would drive him to the hospital sometimes for heart checkups. Anyway, I retired to my room and just ended up watching reruns of Friends and cleaning up a bit. At around 4 when my mom and brother got home, we all sat down in the living room. We were just chatting about our day. Brought up the fact that my brother was being so rude this morning when he didn't greet Grandpa, and they looked at me completely puzzled. I told them that Grandpa was here this morning and then asked what checkup he had to get done today. My mother continued to stare at me blankly and said Grandpa wasn't here this morning. After arguing with her for about 10 minutes, convinced she was messing with me, she told me to call my grandpa and ask him myself. When I did, my grandpa just laughed and told me he was flattered that I was thinking about him. Being someone who's easily frightened at this point, I broke down crying, begging them to believe me. Once my mom realized how shocked I was, I noticed her going pale, and then she said that we should all sit down and pray. We turned off the TV, which was still playing Friends on the English output section of our cable. It should be noted that in order to switch from English channels to the Hindi channels, the output had to be changed by a remote that we had lost a really long time ago. However, after we prayed, we turned the TV back on, and the TV was on the Hindi channel, playing the exact prayer that we had just sung, while the TV flickered violently. At this point, I completely lost it and kept crying, confused as to what was happening. I should add, though, I did confirm with my mom that we did converse that morning just to make sure I didn't imagine the whole thing. And of course, all my memories and timings were perfectly accurate. To this day, I have not been able to understand what happened that day and refuse to believe that I imagined everything, even my grandfather speaking. I think the scariest part was the fact that it was something so normal. Wasn't even there. I'd love to hear your opinion on the matter. Thanks.
I think it was a doppelganger.
A doppelganger of Grandpa?
Grandpa doppelganger. Mm-hmm.
So what exactly would a doppelganger be? Is it something that is connected to the person that it's doppelganging? Or is it something completely on its own?
I don't know. I tend to think that it's more like a spirit that mimics and tries to be like something that's familiar and comforting. And it does a very good job of doing that. And it's able to communicate with you and interact with you.
Do you think only Riddy saw the grandpa? Because the brother was down there.
Yeah, but he didn't see it.
He was engrossed in his game, though.
Yeah, but even when you're engrossed in a game, you notice when somebody sits down next to you.
You'd hope so. Yeah. It's interesting. So this would be a doppelganger, essentially, that made itself known to a single person.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Do you think it had the intent or the hopes that Riddy would interact with it?
I don't know. I can't put my finger on what it was hoping to gain from doing that. But I think it's something more than just wanting to look like Grandpa. Because there at the end, when they said their prayer and the TV came back on, it was the same prayer they had just said. It's almost like something is mocking them within the house.
Sure. That's interesting and disturbing.
Yeah, very much.
All at the same time. Yeah, the TV really kind of did add a new dimension to it. It wasn't just, well, maybe it was just some sort of weird residual energy that people were seeing.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, there was things that were timing out here a little too correctly. Very creepy story. Thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call in your real ghost story to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Do you think someone can become obsessed with a Ouija board? Like, you know, really, they start using it and it becomes not just like an obsession just on their end, but like something draws them to it, like repeatedly over and over. I mean, anyone can become obsessed with anything. Anyone can become addicted to anything that's giving you some sort of pleasure in that part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that can happen with a Ouija board?
I think so.
Just as, do you think it's easier for that to happen when you have stories of people who are using Ouija boards and they seem to, even though there are negative repercussions to it, continue to go back and use it? Is that an addiction at that point, or is it something else?
Doesn't that sound just like a abusive relationship? Isn't this another form of an abusive relationship?
A demon abusing the relationship, yeah.
Yep.
They just keep going back.
Just keep going back. There's some kind of power over them, and they get some kind of payoff. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably feel kind of powerless, like something's going to happen if they stop going back. It's very much the same type of situation.
I could see that. What about companionship with the Ouija board?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be some of it too, if someone is lonely, someone doesn't have a lot of friends, or even if they do, maybe there's just not a connection there. Maybe sometimes that the Ouija board gives them, you know, more of a feeling of connectivity, especially when it tells you things that it shouldn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely.
Very interesting thing to think about when we get so many stories about Ouija boards and
mm-hmm.
just they continue to use it over and over and over, even though not the greatest things happen when they are being used. Interesting story.
Yeah.
Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in and share your real ghost story with us. We'd love to hear it. And of course, we ask if you like the show, help keep it on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person, get access to more than 50 bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. When you sign up, it's only $5 a month, and we thank you in advance for doing just that. Let's go over to a caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Joseph, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I have a few fun stories to tell you about, and they mostly revolve around stuff that have occurred in my house, so it's nothing really outside of that. And are not only my eyewitness accounts, but also one of my step parents. So I'm still going to high school, and currently I live with my dad, and I've lived in the same house since birth. And I know every sound that this house makes. You know, it's an old house. It was built in the early to mid 40s. And that's all well and good. And that makes me, or leads me to believe, rather, that, you know, maybe it's got some history to it. So the first story I want to share with you happened to my stepmom. Well, one of them, rather, my previous stepmother. So she was at home alone doing the laundry downstairs. And when you walk upstairs in the upstairs hallway, the floorboards will creak under your feet, well, because they're old. And as she was doing the laundry, the floorboards started creaking upstairs. She thought that was pretty weird, so she goes upstairs, and there's no one there. This freaked me out as a kid when she told me about it. I was like, wow. I couldn't wrap my head around it because I was in like, you know, second or third grade or something like that. So yeah, that freaked me out a little bit. But, you know, time went on, I kind of forgot about it. But, you know, it would pop up every now and then. Anyway, the next story kind of led me to believe, and basically confirmed, rather, that there has to be some kind of presence in my house. I want to say I was somewhere between the ages of 11 and 13. I was getting ready for bed, and all was normal. I turned out the light, laid down, went to bed, and the second I settled down and was just about to fall asleep, a disembodied voice, a deep male voice, said "boo" right in my left ear. This shook me quite well, but the funny thing is, I didn't do anything. I didn't move at all. My eyes shot open, one of them, my left eye, I believe. But I didn't move. I closed my eye and woke up the next morning like nothing happened. But I could still hear his voice. I could just hear "boo" repeating in my head. That freaked me out a little bit. When I was a younger child, I used to get uncomfortable walking around in the basement. Never upstairs. I never had a problem upstairs. It was always when I would go downstairs, I would have a sudden feeling of dread. And truth be told, the basement can be a bit scary. It sometimes when you don't expect the furnace to come on, you know, it can startle you for a sec, but then you get over it. It's not a big deal. But for some reason, it always used to freak me out. The basement always freaked me out. I have no idea why. Well, I mean, I do now, but I didn't then. And one that's more recent. So I have a TV in my room. It's the old family TV, an old style boob tube. You press the button and it makes your eardrums bleed with that high pitched squeal and everything. When we had it in the living room, all was normal. It was just fine. Didn't do anything out of the ordinary. But ever since I brought it into my room, I don't know, it just been doing a lot of weird stuff lately. A few examples would be, let's say, for example, I'm going to go turn the volume down. It tends to change the channel, but it's never when I press the volume button. It's always when I'm just about to. And because it's not hooked up to a DVR, it goes straight to static. So that's a little weird. Another thing it does occasionally is the speakers will make a slight buzzing sound for a little bit, and then it'll go away. That's a little bit weird, too. But the weirdest thing that's happened recently and continues to happen on a regular basis is that sometimes the wee hours of the morning, just out of nowhere, it'll sound like someone's hit the side of the TV and it's just like go bang and wake me up. And I've gotten used to it, but it can catch you off guard every now and then. It's annoying. Is there something in my house? Maybe. Am I concerned about it? Not really. I mean, to be fair, it can be a little bit concerning when something says "boo," or someone rather says "boo" in your ear when you're a little kid, and you know. And it can be a bit unsettling when something hits the side of your TV and makes it go bang. But It hasn't actually caused any harm or anything. So I think it's safe to assume that whatever is here is just looking to cause a practical joke every now and then. You know, maybe it's nothing threatening. I don't think it is, at least. Anyway, really big fan of your podcast, you guys. And I really look forward to maybe sharing a few more stories with you soon if I have anything else come up. You guys are awesome. All right, bye.
It sounds like you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know we don't usually put callers who are still in high school or young on, but he didn't say dude or bro or anything once. He did a great job.
Yeah.
I would not guess that he was still in high school.
No, if he did not specify that, I would have had no idea.
Yeah.
He was very articulate with what he was talking about. It just sounds like he has a ghost in there with a very dry sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like someone who knows they're a ghost. And I mean, just that's what I was thinking right away, where he's like, and then said, boo, boo, boo. I mean, it's kind of like, all right, I'm a ghost. Got to scare people. Here I go. You know?
My favorite thing was when he gets up to change the channel on the old TV set.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's reaching for it, or he's changing the volume as he reaches for it, it goes to static.
Yeah.
It just, like, does its own thing.
And it goes to the one that's going to make you jump.
Yeah.
With the static. If you remember, like, when TVs, you know, used to have those channels, I mean, it was startling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so boom, boom. I mean, oh my God, it's, you know, now it's, you know, just the blue screen that you get. But when you have that, that can be rather startling. So it's almost like it's looking out to try and find ways to startle him as he goes about his day. So.
Yes.
That was an interesting tale. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Yeah, I'm RJ Denton. I'm calling out of Houston, Texas. And I was listening to your podcast as I make my long drive to Dallas, Texas. And I used to live in this old house in Granger, Texas, and Granger, Texas is a small town, and you know, it's over there probably about, I don't know, maybe 25 minutes from Georgetown, Texas. And well, this town was originally, you know, a farming community. It's been around for years, and at the time I was going to a school, a Catholic school named St. Cyril Methodius, and it just hit its 102nd birthday. And I used to go home, the bus would drop me off at home, and I'd be the only one at the house. And my parents worked at the at Williamson County at the time, and it was just one of my many stories. But as I was at the house, we had a family living with us at the time, but they were going on vacation, and the dad worked nights, so as soon as I got home, he was already, you know, going to work. So I'm sitting there, you know, my dad bought this house, and we renovated it. We knocked out this wall, put a bar in. My room was actually part of a bigger room, and we separated it with sheetrock eventually, and you know, and when I first moved in, this house kind of weirded me out. But, you know, I grew to love the house and grew up in it, you know. And to be honest with you, it's actually one of the biggest houses I've ever lived in for a one story. And, anyway, back to my story. And so I had a clear view to the kitchen. And what I did was I get home and I drank this big cup of water in this pink cup my dad used to drink tea in all the time. You know, I thought I was a big man. I drank out of this cup, right? So I drank the cup and I put it on the bar. So being a kid, I went back and I was, you know, neglecting to do my homework, and I'm hanging on the back of the couch watching cartoons, you know, just acting a fool. And all of a sudden, you know, kind of gets real quiet in the house, you know, like channels, and just right on cue I hear the water turn on, and I'm thinking to myself, oh dear Lord, please don't, you know, please not right now. And all of a sudden I hear it turn off, and then I hear something set, like a glass or a, you know, like a plastic cup, you know, on the counter. And, you know, I finally built up enough courage and to look over. When I did, my cup traveled from the bar across the table all the way to the kitchen sink where it was. So I went over there and I had the phone. I freaked out, grabbed the house phone, and I walked over there, and the cup was filled literally to the brim of water, where the water was bubbling over just so slightly. And I called my mom. So I told her, I was like, hey, look, this is what happened. And she's like, no, hey, Mr. Larry's there. I was like, stay on the phone. So I ran running around the house, and I was calling his name. I was like, Mr. Larry, this, you know, it ain't funny. This ain't funny at all. You know, I checked every window, every door, and everything was locked up tight. You know, hell, even people come over, I'd hide from them, you know. So, mom, but all right, well, I'll be home here in a minute. All right, I'll talk to you later. You know, later on, I come to think of it, she never told me any of the things that happened to her or my dad. You know, so it kind of, when they finally told me what would happen to them, you know, it started to make sense. And a lot of the biggest hot spots were either in the kitchen area. We had, like, right next to it was a laundry room. So stuff would happen in there, you know, like the microwave would turn on by itself and the son of the gun would be unplugged. But the really biggest spot is towards the back of the house where our bedrooms were. I would have some kind of dark figure walk, you know, pace back and forth in my bedroom, and then eventually it'd leave me alone after I sit there and pray my heart out, you know. But, you know, just there's a lot of other things, and, you know, and it's gotten dark one, you know, like pretty evil one time I remember, but that's when this family was living with me. But that's a story for another time.
There we go.
And that cut out.
It's a haunted house.
Yeah, it is. And when you see something, then there's no doubt about it.
If you see something, say something.
If you see something, say something.
That should be our new slogan. If you see something, say something to us. Uh-huh. You call us and you share your ghost story.
There you go.
That's our new thing.
Yeah.
Because then more people will understand that these things actually happen, and it makes everyone feel normal who's having these things happen, although it is, you know, still paranormal events, but it's not the people who are paranormal. It's the events themselves that are paranormal. So, yeah, if you see something, say something.
Yes.
But thank you for calling and sharing that experience with us. Of course, our phone number here is 855-853-4802. If you would like to share your real ghost story with us, we would love to hear it. And, of course, if you want a whole bunch of episodes jam-packed with some of our best ghost stories, become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. It's that easy. It's only $5 a month, and it keeps our show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.